Welcome back to Sports Day. You're listening for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Exciting time of the year, not just because the prelims are coming up, Jared, but because the Brownlow is around the corner. A very special night for people like you, but for everyone around the country who loves their footy. And we have a hot favourite in Lachie Neale, a man that we both have loved seeing going about his business, not just this year, but last year he could have won it as well.
Yep.
And the man that's been at the forefront for Channel 7 of those Brownlow medals is Hamish McLachlan, who's hosting it once again on Sunday night alongside Jackie
Feldman.
Is this
the real Hamish McLachlan or is this the virtual Hamish McLachlan? It's hard to distinguish between the two. Welcome to you, Hammer.
G'day, Jared. Hey, Sam. Nice to be on.
What a different year it's been, and it's going to be a different Brownlow, but I reckon it's a real challenge for you.
Yeah, it will be. I think it'll be a challenge for me, but also technically all the guys that, as you know too well, you two being on TV a bit, the guys behind the scenes do a lot of fast swimming and make it look sort of easier for us than it is. But we'll have cameras in the West. We'll have cameras in Queensland. We'll have cameras in New South Wales, South Australia. I'm hosting it from just next to Fox Studios, the NEP headquarters in Dorcas Street in South Melbourne. And Gill, I think, is reading the votes from Metricon. The Lions are at the Gabba. Port Adelaide will be at the Adelaide Oval. And if you're still with us, you're doing well.
Now, tell me, are you going to, a bit like your crowd cam and the virtual crowds that you throw up through the coverage, you're going to have former Brownlow medalist cheering and drinking virtual champagne in between the count?
Well, I think you're allowed to drink real champagne. You're just not going to be at the count. So guys like yourself who have dominated the landscape for years will be somewhere. And if you allow us to have a camera, then you'll be like the Brady Bunch alongside Dipper, who'll be alongside Simon Black, who'll be alongside Jason Ackermanis, all thousands of miles from each other, but sort of still a part of it. We need to recognise legends like yourself, and we try and involve in some way, shape or form mums and dads and kids that are watching the heroes around the country. So it's going to be a challenge. I mean, there'll be, you know, virtual crowd, inverted commas. We'll no doubt take shots of families and Brownlow medalists and mothers of potential winners and all those things. But it'll be, it's live, live, live. So it'll be on your feet stuff. But, you know, if you say that Lachie Neale or Trav Boak wins, then the interview will be, you know, from South Melbourne to the Gabba or South Melbourne to the Adelaide Oval, which will be a new thing.
And Hamish, every year, whether it's one of the hosts, well, it's never one of the hosts, or sometimes we try to find out which of the names that Gillon McLachlan, given that he's reading out 5,000 of them, has a mini slipper. Yep. I think Lachie Boak's my favourite already. It hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, did I say Travis Neale or Lachie Boak? One of the two. Yeah, it's I do, you know, it's funny, I get nervous at different times. I get very nervous for Gillon because reflects badly on the family. It's like a bad haircut. Like, just get it right so you don't embarrass us all. And, you know, he no doubt feels the same about me.
Do you have a Brownlow medal in each state or in each of the likely venues where the Brownlow medalists will reside so somebody will be able to bang one around the neck?
Yeah. There's a I think every year they have multiple Brownlows everywhere just in case the unthinkable happens so that, you know, you're not putting made up one around someone's neck. I think they've got all bases covered, and, you know, logistically, I mean, I'm a bit close to it, but God, they've done a good job, the AFL, getting the game to this point. You know, the Brownlow medal itself is another logistical challenge, and if we can get three more matches away, we've come a lot further than I think a lot of us thought we would get.
Yeah, we've discussed many, many times on this program through the year, Scoop, just that it's time to get the game back started. You know, June the 11th was the date. June the 18th was the date. We weren't going fast enough, et cetera, et cetera. But it is amazing that despite the fact that it's mid-October, we are talking about a Brownlow medal coming up in a few days' time.
Done an unbelievable job, the AFL. And I think we've said that all the way through. Hammer, when did you first start thinking this COVID madness? When did it hit you that, oh, hang on, the Brownlow might be a bit weird this year?
I was On the launch of the season, which was the Tuesday night, 8 or 9 days out from the Thursday night game one, I saw Gillon in the morning and he was excited by everything. And then I rang him during the day about something completely unrelated to football. I could tell he was completely distracted. I then saw him about an hour before the season launch. And I know him pretty well, and I know his body language. I could tell there was something really wrong. And he was starting to talk to Martin Pakula and all of the ministers in the corner of the room. And before we went on stage, because I was doing it on behalf of Seven, I said to Gil, how are we going? He said, we might not have crowds by round four or five. I said, what? He said, seriously, I've just been told that this thing's a lot worse than it is, and it's getting worse by the hour. When I saw you this morning, it was sort of all okay. By lunch, it was bad. By now, it's like, by the end of the night, so that was at 6:30, by 10:30 that night, he said, I don't think we're getting to round one. I said, didn't you say four or five, there might not be crowds? He said, yeah. It's got worse again. That was Tuesday. By Wednesday, I was almost sure round one wasn't on. But as you know, we called it off. Well, Gil called it off halfway through round one. And during that Sunday call at halftime, they pulled the pin. And at that point, there was complete uncertainty whether we'd go again. But, Sammy, the Olympics, I remember speaking just before round one, and we had a Channel 7 conference, and we said, this is what's happening. And I just put my hand up, and I said, do you think they'll go ahead? And everyone said, of course they will. And Bruce said, they've only ever been called off once, and that was for, I don't know whether they'll go ahead next year. So the question is the answer is long-winded, but I got a sense then that everything was going to be different. And then I kept asking Gil during the year, give me a bit of a steer as to whether I need to go into quarantine. Give me, this was like round 14. He goes, mate, I don't know where the grand final is, as if I know where the Brownlow is. So it's all been, a completely movable feast for so long. And I could tell with Gil that it was all uncertain. When I would sort of just probe for something, I could just tell that he had no idea of the answer, and he wouldn't know until, a lot of hoops had been jumped and bridges had been crossed and water had flowed.
The scary thing is, Hamish McLaughlin is our special guest tonight, talking about the upcoming Zoomed Brownlow medal. We don't even know if we're going to have crowds in Melbourne next year. That's the scary thing.
What's going to change is my fear. Sammy knows me pretty well. I'm pretty much a half glass full guy. I just don't see what changes. And that's what I think got all of us so scared, depressed.
I think changes, Hammer, is the politicians change. And I think we're
finally seeing it. That's the only thing that can change.
Yeah.
100% with it. Because no vaccine's coming.
No.
We're not going to eradicate it. So there's got to be a different philosophy at state level. And I just don't know whether they're going to be doing that.
No, well, we heard the Premier today finally utter what we've been saying for about 4 months, that the cure is worse than the sickness right now. And
right.
When it comes out of his mouth, well, clearly he understands the politics of this situation. You only have to drive down Beach Road. People are actually, they're out there. They've had a gutful of this, and I don't think they're going to put up with another season without some sort of a capacity to attend a game of AFL footy. Whether it's 50% capacity or 30%, it doesn't matter, but the show's got to go on.
Yeah, we're all involved in small businesses, or we know people with small businesses, and when you lift up the hood, the motor's only just running, isn't it? So I don't know for how long we can all keep going. Hopefully something changes, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Sunday, and it's going to be hopefully a big Sunday before a great Saturday.
Hammer said that he was a glass half full sort of guy. Mm. I would go as far as saying maybe even three quarters glass full sort of guy. Hey, Hammer, while you're here, I mean, you might as well give us your predictions for what's going to happen on Sunday night, whether that's a tip or someone you think may come from nowhere, and also how you think the prelims are shaping up. Because if you can pick winners from those two games, you're doing better than Jared and I.
No, I said, someone asked me the same question today. If you said to me Richmond won comfortably, I wouldn't be surprised. If Port won comfortably, I wouldn't be surprised. If Brisbane and Geelong did the same. So I'm not going... It's funny, though. You do start to have outcomes that you want, given what you may or may not be doing on Sunday night. Talking to Lachie Neale ahead of a grand final would be a lot more fun than losing the prelim the night before. Talking to Travis Boak after winning a prelim is going to be a lot more fun. I'm a Cats supporter, so I don't really want Brisbane to win, but I do for Lachie. So the outcomes look fun. In terms of the Brownlow medal itself, he'll be the shortest price favourite that's ever been beaten, Lachie Neale, if he does get rolled. Dane Swan, I think, was the shortest when he lost at $1.90 to Juddy, and then Juddy the next year was favourite and got rolled by Dane Swan. And then Trav's had an outstanding year, and I think those two, as per the betting, will sort of clear out a bit. I'm not convinced that Christian Petrarca will go from zero votes last year to an enormous vote count. I always think it takes a while. He's only got five votes in his career, and he's voted three times. And that's, you know, 3 votes 2 years ago and 2 votes the year before. So if you said, I've got a couple of guys that watch every game and I speak to them from a couple of the betting shops, and they've got Lachie, Neil and Trav, and then they've got a sort of a bit of a bunch, Jack Steele, Christopher Traka, Jack McRae. One guy that I speak to, and he's very good, says that he thinks Luke Parker will be a top 10 finisher. In their 5 wins, he did exceptionally well. You know, they went 5-12, they had a few disappointments, but yeah, he was always there. He thinks that Max Gawn might outvote Petrarca in the Melbourne count, and he thinks Cripps will outvote Walsh in the Carlton count, which is all in contradiction to what the market's saying.
Well, there you go. Luke Parker, that's the name that I have not heard once this year. It's a top 10. I don't mind that from Hammer. Hammer, it's going to be a great night, and congratulations and well done to Jackie Felgate as well, who's been doing great things in footy circles, and she's going to co-host with you on Sunday at 7.
Yeah, she's a ripper, Jack. I'm looking forward to working with her. And you know, it's funny, I was thinking about this call. I was just out in one of the paddocks with a foal. I was thinking, when was the last time I was on Sports Today? And I rang in 1998, because I was living with Andrew Thompson at the time.
Yes.
I rang in as a fan. Good. It's nice to be on 22 years later.
You would have been hosting, Jared?
Well, there weren't too many others hosting. It was Hooksy and myself. Can you remember what you rang in about?
I rang about Andrew Thompson. You were talking about Smokies for the State of Origin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I rang in, I said, Andrew Thompson. And he actually got in that year. I was sitting alongside Andrew Thompson on the couch at home when I rang. So.
Fantastic. I spoke to Tomo today, actually. He thinks it was a good decision to sell the banks yesterday, and he thinks it'll be a good decision to buy them if they drop by another 5%.
If you do need a broker, he's a good man to go to, as you know.
Hammer, great to have you on. Good luck on Sunday. We'll all be watching.
Hopefully I'm on before another 22 years, but thanks, Sammy.
Hamish McLaughlin there, the host of Channel 7's Brownlow Medal and one of their great commentators as well. For Wilson Holmes, this is Sports Day. You can
chat
with one of their friendly...
What do you think about this?
Yeah, what?
Do you think, Lockie, this will be, I think, a real test. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Lockie is going to, as I've said to you before, in the last...
We are on the exact same page.
7 weeks.
Yep.
I'd be surprised if he polled in more than 3 games.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say more than 4. Yeah, but I don't think in those four he's going to vote 3s either.
Yep.
I think it's neck and neck with him and Boak, to be honest.
Yep.
So this has got
cliffhanger written all over it.
Well, it's got Russian Camelot Arcadia Queen got written all over it, and we know that Willie Pike got Arcadia Home. So
have you noticed that our producer
Benny, yep,
has been a little bit narky since the Pies put in such a shocking performance.
I would go as far as saying very narky.
Yeah, indeed.
The Chief, Brent Costello, he won't be narky. He's going to join us next from the Apple Isle.